Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. This afternoon we're going to consider one of the most wicked sins that has come upon this nation. I want to go ahead and say this up front, that the sin of abortion is an incredibly vile thing. But I want everyone who hears this message to know that this is not a sin which is incapable of being forgiven in Christ Jesus. Yes, what we will look at today will expose the wickedness of the sin, and some people will hear this sermon and say that I was too harsh and went too far, but we must be true to what the Word of God teaches and not attempt to sugarcoat the atrocities that are taking place even here in our own backyard. The sin is wicked, but the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is marvelous. So give now your attention to the reading of God's most holy word from Exodus chapter 21, beginning at verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, and then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let us ask His blessing on it. O Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Thy Word, which is true in all ages. We are thankful that in thy wisdom and graciousness that Thou, O Lord, hast given us clear instructions regarding wicked things that are still pervasive in our society today. Things that have become so commonplace that to not support them makes us the supposedly evil ones. Oh Lord, as we approach this very sensitive topic, Lord, let us do so with strength. Let us do so with compassion. Let us do so with love. Let us do so with truth. Lord, let what is preached here today be received as the truth. And Lord, we ask that Thou wouldst use this sermon as a means of bringing an end to this wicked practice here in our nation. O Lord, feed us with Thy Word. Equip us in truth and justice, grace and mercy, so that we may confront the culture and do so by Thy Word. O Lord, let this sermon not be with the intent of making a name for ourselves, but to proclaim the glory of Christ Jesus. Lord, feed us with thy word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Last week we considered the plague of feminism that is running rampant throughout our society and even within the church. And as we saw in that sermon, one of the products of second wave feminism in America was the landmark decision of 1973 known as Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion nationally. Well, praise be to God that a couple of years ago, the Supreme Court overturned that decision. But that doesn't mean that this modern day Holocaust of children in the womb has ceased. No, what that decision did was return the issue to the states to make a determination of what will and will not be allowed in regard to abortion. Since that decision, many states, including our own, have set out to make abortion a protected act. And they've encouraged those from other states to travel here in order to have an abortion. Over the last 50 years, there have been over 60 million babies who have been legally murdered in abortion mills throughout the United States. There are some people who would say that this is a political issue and ought not be preached against in the church. And unfortunately, many of those who make that claim are professing Christians. They're Christians who have adopted the false ideology of a radical separation of the church and the state, such that they believe the church should never speak into matters which are political. But friends, abortion is not a political issue. It's a moral one. It is the duty of the church to call the state to a proper observance of the moral law of God, even on topics which have become politicized in our society. And perhaps the reason why professing Christians think we shouldn't be preaching against this is because research shows that around 20% of those who have had abortions are professing evangelical Christians themselves. Friends, this is sad. And it shows just how far our culture has influenced the hearts of those within the church. We need preaching against this wicked sin now more than ever. So this afternoon we will consider the topic of abortion, and we will do so by considering three heads. First, Scripture's teaching concerning abortion. Next, the biblical solution for abortion. And then finally, your responsibility against abortion. So first, let us consider Scripture's teaching concerning abortion. Well, in order to understand Scripture's teaching against abortion, you must first understand Scripture's teaching on the sanctity of life. In Genesis 1:27, we read, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Here is the foundational teaching on the life of humans, that it is a precious thing in the eyes of God. Why is this? Because we are all made in the image of God. Every single person who has ever been conceived is an image bearer of Jehovah. And that puts humans in a distinct position in regards to creation. Nothing else in all of the created order is made in the image of God. And while, yes, that image has been marred through the effects of sin coming into the world, the fact remains that we are all made in the image of God and stand among our fellow men as the pinnacle of God's creation. And so this means that the taking of another's life is one of the most heinous crimes that can be committed. This is why Scripture mandates that the punishment for shedding another man's blood is for the murderer to be put to death. We see this in Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And unfortunately, this understanding of the sanctity of life and the punishment for the shedding of blood has been all but lost in our modern society. Most states have completely done away with the death penalty for capital offenses, and a great many people believe that the death penalty is equally as wrong as the initial killing. And some Christians claim that the New Testament does away with this punishment for murder. But we see in Romans 13:4, where we read of the civil magistrate, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The New Testament doesn't do away with the death penalty. It affirms it. The magistrate is to bear the sword. So if all human life is sacred due to us being made in the image of God, and the punishment for the shedding of blood is that the murderer be put to death, then this must be the foundation upon which we approach abortion. But those within society who cling to their supposed right to kill an unborn baby will justify it by saying that it's not a person, that it's not actually a baby, that it's not a living human being, that it's just a clump of cells. Friends, this is just plain false, and it's just a way of trying to rationalize their wicked actions and desires. Scripture is clear on the baby in the womb being a living person. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." People are the only creatures which have a sinful nature. David recognizes that even as he was being formed in his mother's womb, even in conception, he was a sinful being. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. Here the psalmist speaks of the Lord forming him in his mother's womb, of the Lord knowing him in an intimate way, in seeing his substance, and even having his days numbered. Those are things that can only be true of a person. And clumps of cells do not respond to the ministry of the Spirit, nor leap at the sound of the voice of the Lord's mother, as John the Baptist did when while in his mother's womb in Luke 1:41. But it's not just Scripture which testifies to the fact that the unborn child is a living person. Science testifies this as well. 96% of all scientists are in consensus that life begins at fertilization. All embryology textbooks agree with this. They even state it in unambiguous terms like this definition of embryo. Embryo, the developing individual between the union of the germ cells and the completion of the organs which characterizes its body when it becomes a separate organism. At the moment the sperm cell of the human male meets the ovum of the female and the union results in a fertilized ovum or zygote, a new life has begun. The term embryo covers the several stages of early development from conception to the 9th or 10th week of life. Even science affirms that the unborn child is a living person. And so, friends, this is what makes abortion so wicked, because it is the unjust murder of another person made in the image of God. And our text this afternoon shows that this is the case. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The first clause of this section is speaking of a man striking a woman and causing her to go into labor and give birth prematurely. Now, some modern translations will try to make this out to be speaking of a miscarriage, and they'll say that the only punishment appointed by Scripture is a fine. But there's no reason to think that anything other than the birth of a human being is in view here. One that is brought on prematurely by men striking at a pregnant woman while fighting with each other. In more than 1,075 uses of this word in the Hebrew Bible, it is never translated as miscarriage. This is clearly a live but premature birth. And so the second clause does speak of causing the death of the mother, the child, or both. And the punishment that is required is retribution equal to that harm which was done in the act. This is a crime that is punishable by death. But you must remember, it is not our place to seek out justice at our own hands. It is the duty of the magistrate, per Romans 13. Matthew Henry writes, "Magistrates ought to have an eye to this rule in punishing offenders and doing right to those that are injured. Consideration must be had of the nature, quality, and degree of the wrong done, that reparation may be made to the party injured and others deterred from doing the like. Either an eye shall go for an eye, or the forfeited eye shall be redeemed by a sum of money." So if the killing of an unborn child in this instance is a crime that's punishable by death, and it's the instance of two men are fighting and one strikes a woman who is pregnant, how much more wicked and worthy of death is the intentional murder of an unborn child like what we see in abortion today? There's a famous quote by Calvin that says, "If it seems more horrible to kill a man in his own house than in a field, because a man's house is his place of most secure refuge, it ought surely to be deemed more atrocious to destroy a fetus in the womb before it has come to light." The womb is to be a refuge for the unborn child, a sanctuary, a place of protection while it is in its most vulnerable state. Can there be anything more wicked than to enter into that place of protection and to seek the destruction of the life therein? Friends, abortion is nothing but cold-blooded, heartless, wicked, evil murder. This has always been understood until our recent age. It used to be undisputed. The early church father Tertullian speaks of this in AD 197, saying, "In our case, a murder being once for all forbidden, we may not destroy even the fetus in the womb, while as yet the human being derives blood from the other parts of the body for its sustenance. To hinder a birth is merely a speedier man-killing. Nor does it matter whether you take away a life that is born or destroy one that is coming to birth. That is a man which is going to be one. You have the fruit already in its seed." And so because of all this, because the child in the womb is a living person made in the image of God, because abortion is murder by the unjust shedding of blood, because it is even more egregious thing to murder one who is in such a vulnerable state, the only righteous response to abortion is the death penalty. Doctors who perform abortions, women who get abortions, fathers who encourage abortions, pharmaceutical scientists who create pills for abortions, they should all be put to death at the hand of the magistrate wielding the sword as a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I know that this is not the popular opinion today, even within the church, but that is what the Word of God commands. Murderers must be put to death. But that's not where we are as a society. We are leaps and bounds away from being a righteous society with a righteous magistrate who deals righteously with evildoers. We have a problem, and we need a solution. So let us now consider Scripture's solution for abortion. There are those within our society that will tell you that the solution to abortion is to get your nose out of their business. That it's a private matter and that you have no say in it. Friends, this is hogwash. Women do not have the right to privacy between them and their doctor when it comes to the murder of an unborn child. No woman or man has a right to private conversation with a doctor to conspire how to end someone else's life. If the unborn are people, then we must protect them regardless of what it means for someone's privacy. No one has the unlimited right to choose whatever they want to do. This mentality is rooted in idolatry. It's idolatry of the self, idolatry of the workplace, idolatry of success, idolatry of reputation, and idolatry of sex. This is no different than those ancient heathens who sacrificed their children unto Molech. But instead of a statue, they are sacrificing their children to the gods of their own desires. You do not have the right to choose to offer your children in the fires to Molech. You do not have the right to choose to murder someone else. Choosing to terminate innocent life is, by definition, choosing to murder. The solution to the problem of abortion in this country isn't to just turn a blind eye to the issue, to pretend that it isn't happening and to hope it goes away. To let women just have unrestricted right over another person is a wicked thing. And magistrates who allow this practice to continue unpunished have the blood of innocent babes on their hands. The solution to abortion also isn't in the pro-life movement that many conservatives champion. I know this may sound strange to some of you, but the pro-life movement is just as pro-abortion as the pro-choice movement. Yes, they claim that they recognize that the baby in the womb is a living person, and they may even talk a big game about how against abortion they are. But when it comes down to it, they are still pro-abortion, just with certain limitations. The pro-life movement, by and large, holds to abortion being legal up to 6 or 8 weeks of pregnancy. Is the 6-week-old child in the womb any less a person than the 6-month-old child in the womb? Is the 6-second-old child in the womb any less than any less of a person than a 6-month-old child in the womb? Then why would we think that it's okay to support a movement that says the taking of a child's life at that early stage is fine so long as it's not in a later stage? The pro-life movement is also overwhelmingly in favor of exceptions in the case of rape and incest. How wicked this ideology is to say that a child would be better off dead than to live as a child of rape or incest. Would we murder a child outside the womb because he or she was conceived by rape or incest? Well, of course not. Then why would we murder a child inside the womb? Why should we punish a child for the father's crime? The scripture is clear on this issue in Deuteronomy 24:16. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. In the case of rape and incest, it's not the child who should be executed, it's the father. Friends, I know that some of you look to these kinds of issues when it comes time for elections. And here we are in an election year, and this topic will be brought up constantly in debates and interviews with candidates. I'll tell you now, the solution to abortion is not in voting for a pro-life candidate or supporting the pro-life movement. They may appear to be more righteous, but in the end, they are just as wicked and pro-choice on this issue. They're just as wicked as the pro-choice on this issue. So what is Scripture's solution to abortion? It's the same solution as all other sins. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, nothing else is going to fix the problem that we're facing in this country. Nothing else is going to stop the rivers of innocent blood which flow through our streets. Nothing else is going to cause the abortion mills to close their doors. Nothing else is going to change the hearts of the women who get abortions. Nothing else is going to soften the magistrates to be able to put an end to this modern day Holocaust. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can accomplish this. This demonic practice will only come to an end by the Son of God putting an end to it. What does 1 John 3:8 tell us? He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Christ Jesus came for the purpose of putting an end to the works of the devil, including that murderous work of abortion. If you want to see this wicked practice of abortion abolished in our land, then you must be about the work of prayer, crying out to the Lord to put an end to the works of the devil. If you want to see the bloodshed end, then you must be about the work of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. The conversion of the soul is the only thing that will do away with this wicked practice. The only solution, the only way to reverse the shedding of innocent blood is by being washed in the blood of the Lamb, having the heart of stone removed and given a heart of flesh. Friends, the only solution to abortion is Christ. And this goes for those who have had abortions, those who have performed abortions, those who have supported abortion. And I don't know if any of you here fall into any of these categories, but if you do, then hear the proclamation of the gospel and find comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you are in Him, if you have repented of your sin, and even the sin of murder, then you have been washed clean and there is no more guilt in you. 1 John 1:9 is true of the abortionist, the murderer, and the supporter of wickedness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do not let today pass without confessing your sins unto the Lord and finding forgiveness in him. Hear the comforting words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you have trusted in Christ, then you are forgiven. Even if you've aborted your child, it is not a sin that is so great that the blood of Christ cannot cover it. No matter what you've done, no matter who you've hurt, no matter the circumstances of your sin, if you turn to Christ Jesus in humble repentance and put your hope in him, then you are free from the guilt and stain of sin. He is the only solution for abortion. And lastly, let us briefly consider your responsibility against abortion. Friends, you cannot sit idly by and think that because you would never get an abortion, that this problem is none of your concern. To see wickedness around you and do nothing about it is a wicked thing itself. So first, you have a responsibility to recognize the many ways in which abortions happen and to fight against them. Abortion isn't always a woman walking into Planned Parenthood or a women's health clinic and having an abortion performed on her. The devil is much more crafty than that overt method of abortion. Now a woman can get an abortion without ever leaving the confines of her own home. Perhaps even most abortions come from taking abortion medication that can be either mailed directly to the home or picked up at a local clinic. And then there is Plan B, a medication designed with the intent of causing a fertilized egg not to implant. This is used when women after a sexual encounter, it's used by women after a sexual encounter in order to not have to live with the consequences of her actions. And most women do not even realize that this medication is actually causing an abortion. They must be made aware that this method is killing a child and that it must be fought against. And then there is abortifacient birth control, which is most of what most birth control is on the market. You have to do your research into these things to ensure that you are not taking away the life that God has blessed you with. And these birth control medications need to be pulled from the shelves. We need to be fighting against their manufacture and their sell. You cannot say that it's not your place to tell a woman what birth control she can take when so many out there are literally designed to kill the child in its earliest stages. All of these various forms of abortion are wicked and vile and must be fought against. It's not just the ripping of a child apart that needs to be stopped, but even the taking of a pill in the privacy of your own home. But most importantly, you have a responsibility to share the solution with everyone else. As I've already said, nothing else but the gospel of Jesus Christ will end this epidemic of baby murder within our land. If you know someone who has had an abortion or who supports abortion, then you have a responsibility to confront their sin and show them their need for a Savior. Show them the forgiveness that can be found in Christ Jesus. That the Spirit of God will cleanse their hearts and that they can be free from the blood guilt that is upon them. And then you must have the courage to go out and stand on this truth in the public square as well. When I lived in Pittsburgh, I would go with a group of other believers to a local abortion clinic and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who were there. We would talk with mothers and fathers, volunteers, and even the doctors. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go and get a graphic poster of a mutilated child and stand in protest on the street corner. But you ought to be willing to go and share the gospel with those who are in the thick of their sin. I know we haven't done this here yet, but it's my hope that we as a congregation will go out and do this very thing. You cannot expect to see the wickedness end if you're not going out there and presenting the solution to sinners. And this also means that you have a responsibility to call your magistrates to repentance in these matters as well. Write letters to your legislators, to your mayors, to your governors, and even to the president himself. Call upon them to uphold their God-given duties to be ministers of God for good, to be a terror to evil, to execute wrath upon evildoers, and to govern according to the precepts of the Lord. If you want to see revival here in America, it begins with the call of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, I know this is a heavy topic. And I know that it's one that can bring about a great sense of sorrow and pain and anger. I know that it's one that even our own brethren oftentimes tells us to not be so focused on. But we cannot let this evil continue in our land without opposition. The world will hate you for standing against this wickedness. They will call you haters of women and all other sorts of vile things. Hold fast. Be encouraged by the words of Christ Jesus. In Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Friends, you must recognize that children are a heritage of the Lord. That every child, no matter if it is in the womb or it is outside of it, no matter how big or how small, every child is an image bearer of God and is worthy of life. Fight for that life. And proclaim forth the gospel as you stand against these wicked schemes of Satan. Let's pray. O Lord, we come unto thee. We are saddened that our nation allows such a wicked practice. Lord, we haven't even touched on all of the effects of abortions on a woman, both mentally, spiritually, and physically. Lord, we recognize that this sin is destroying our society. And it is heaping up judgment upon us. Judgment upon judgment for this sin, which we have yet to repent of. It is not good enough that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. No, the Supreme Court needs to repent for ever having approved it. And our magistrates need to completely outlaw this wicked practice. Oh Lord, give us holy and godly magistrates who will uphold thy law and judge with equity. Oh Lord, give us magistrates who will abolish abortion in all forms, in all ways, and treat it for that crime which it is, and that is murder. Yes, we long to have these women and doctors and fathers and supporters. We long to have them come to repentance and knowledge and faith in Christ Jesus. But they must be held accountable for their sin, for their crime. The gospel does not negate that. Oh Lord, give us magistrates which will hold them accountable. And Lord, give us boldness to go out and to stand upon this truth, even when the world will hate us because of it. We are called to be counter-cultural, to go against what the culture says we must do if it goes against what thy word says we must do. Oh Lord, let us have courage to do that. And let us take comfort in thy words, in the words of thy Son, that we will be blessed if they revile us and persecute us. Oh Lord, let the gospel go forth in this land, changing the hearts of men and women, so that they would call upon the magistrates to do away with this evil practice. Oh Lord, we weep over the millions of babies that have been slaughtered. And those are just the ones we know about. That does not include the secret abortions. Oh Lord, how wicked is our nation? How wicked are our rulers? It is a marvel that thou hast not destroyed us already. Lord, we pray that the reason that thou art preserving us in this wickedness is for a time of great revival. We ask that thy Spirit would move and bring about a revival in this land. so that we could turn our foot away from the wickedness and turn towards Thee, O Lord. O Lord, let us stand upon this truth, no matter the cost. And let us ever seek to live according to Thy word. Be with us as we depart from this place. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.